All right, good morning, everybody. well, good to be back. Got back actually last Monday, so I'm pretty much easy. Pretty much over the jet lag. boy, I do think it takes me longer to get over that, though. I don't know. But anyway, let me just give you an overview of some things and share some thoughts, hopefully that will be relevant to all of us, empowering in the scripture. I left for Kosovo on May 28th, and some of you might have a chance to meet Alexandra Elam. She went with me. Now, if you know the Elam family, Kurt and Anna, down from southern Indiana down there. The two girls, their two daughters, Alexandra and Jessica, went with me to Kosovo 2 years ago. They really wanted to go, never really been anywhere like that, never went overseas, but they had met Fiola Duraco. You know, she'd been here a couple times. And one time she went with us, Fiola went with us down to Lancaster Family Camp, and Elams were there, and they actually got a chance, the girls got a chance to stay together, so they knew her. And of course, Fiola always invited them to come to Kosovo sometime. So a couple years ago, they went with me, had a very positive, enjoyable experience. They connected with people that we met over there and developed a relationship. So as it came up here, I had the opportunity or a need to go back to Kosovo because of studies with Avni. You know him, he's been here. You know, he was baptized into Christ here, I don't know, maybe it's 2 years now in May. things opening up. So I was going to go. So Alexandra said, can I go with you? She said, I'm going to spend the summer there. She was going to go to the University of Kentucky, changed her mind. So she had the summer off, wanted to go to Kosovo. I said, sure. So I took her and left her there. She's still there. She's with Fiola in Blairham and helping out there, and I think she's having a great time in more ways than one. You know, we all need to really understand. You know, I've heard the old saying, no man's an island. I'm not 100% sure what that means. But I do know this. God knew us before we were born. The Bible says so. How can he do that? I don't know. Easy. It's just a fact. David said, you had all my days written in your book before there was even one of them. I think you'll find that in Psalms 139. He told Jeremiah in Jeremiah 1:4, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. To make him a prophet to the nations. Paul said, God who separated me from my mother's womb to reveal his son in me. Remember him? He was opposing the idea of this Jesus of Nazareth. But God knew before he was ever born, he would be the apostle to the nations, to the Gentiles. God's way ahead of us, man. Way ahead of us. We need to start seeing ourselves that way. If you are in the will of God, you have got potential that goes right off the scale. You know, I mentioned before little babies, and see, we got one of them in here today. That little baby is completely whole and precious, has a potential that no one is aware of but God. That's a fact. A potential to be who knows what. I don't know. God knows. So for all of us, as we go forward, as we seek to navigate through this world, and if you're a Christian, it's not your home, and you know that. And if you aren't a Christian, you need to realize that. God knows our potential, and he has intentions for us if we're willing. We have to submit to it, though. We have to become a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared for every good work. God ain't going to make you do nothing. He's going to make you do nothing. The Bible says that man sets his course, but God directs his steps. You want a full life? You want to realize all your potential? It's in the Lord. That's how it's done. Other than that, our lives become a waste and nothing but cannon fodder. Now, we know from Scripture, only few will be that find it, Jesus said. The way of life, he said, we have to strive to enter in at that narrow gate, because wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction. He said, many going in that way, because straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leads to life, few will find it. Some trivia for you. You probably don't care about this kind of stuff, but I'll tell you anyway. You ever go to a big shopping mall, they have anchor stores. Usually it's a JCPenney's or a Sears, used to be, Battle Creek. And there's quite a bank of doors there for you to go in and come out. You think they put all them doors on there because everybody wants to go to Sears? Or into JCPenney? Those anchor stores, it's all according to the life safety code. The occupant load for that mall is predetermined by fire safety people so that they know how many doors they have to have and distances from exit to get everybody out of that building, out of the mall, if they had to. You don't put a single 36-inch door on a mall that might have 2,000 or 3,000 people in it, or hundreds of people or something. So they put more doors in those anchor stores so they can exit the building. So it's all by design. When Jesus said, look, there's a narrow way, a narrow gate, small door that leads to life. And there's a big wide gate that leads to destruction. Why do you suppose you've got a big wide gate and a small gate? It's to handle the occupant load. There ain't all that many people trying to get to heaven. So it only needs a small door. But you got to have a big door to go to hell with, because that's where most people are going to go. Now the funny thing is, if you call it funny, but it's, if you think about it, the Bible said God is not willing that anybody should perish. Ezekiel 18, he says he has no pleasure in the death of the wicked at all, that they would turn and live. Well, then how come so many people are choosing that route? Because Jesus said few will find the way to eternal life. Are they welcome? Absolutely. Who gets to decide where we spend eternity? You might think God does. No, you do. We do. Now, he does set the criterion, if you will, how to live. He tells you, I'll tell you how to live. Choose life, right? Set before you good and evil, life and death. Now, he said, choose life that you may live. And Peter said in 2 Peter 3, he's not willing any should perish, so he wants us to choose life. But in reality, most will not choose it. So if they perish, it's by default. If you do not choose life, you have chosen death. It doesn't get any more complicated than that. Now Jesus said, the Lord said, go into all the world and preach the good news to people. He who believes it and is immersed will be saved. If they don't, they're going to be condemned again by default. If you don't choose life, you've chosen death. If you don't seek truth, you get falsehood. Simple. So, he said, go and tell everybody. Now, not everybody's going to accept it. You know that. Well, how do you know whether they'll accept it? You might be surprised who will accept it. I can remember so many times, in fact, I don't even think about it anymore. Sue and I used to think, we'd have a study lined up. We were all excited because, oh, they're going to love this. They hated it. Well, they're really not going to want it. You know, I don't think this is going to go anywhere. They loved it. even in my own situation with Sue, I wanted to go to our first Bible study. She didn't want to go. I said, we're going to invite you to a Bible study. It's with Jeff Whitson and Charlotte. She goes, who are these people? They're nice people. You know, Jeff joined the fire department. And she goes, where's their church? I said, they meet in the home. It's a cult. She said, it's a cult. And she said, if that fire beeper of yours goes off and you got to take off, I'm going with you to the fire. Yeah, leave me in that house with them people. She didn't say a word the whole study.
Yeah, right.
She didn't. Jeff went through. It was probably 3 hours, at least 3 hours. Jeff, book, chapter, verse, book, chapter, verse, book, chapter, verse. Then he closed with Acts 22:16, you know, where Ananias goes to Saul of Tarsus because he was sent there by the Lord. And he told Brother Saul, receive thy sight. Then he said, now what are you waiting for? Rise and be immersed and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And Jeff closed his book. And he said, do you have any questions? I didn't have any questions. I saw about an hour before that where this was going, because, you know, I'd been reading the Bible. I was searching. I was looking. And I couldn't quite figure it all out. But when he connected all them dots, I thought, this is for me. I had no question. And Sue goes, I have a question. Jeff said, what's your question? She said, all sins are forgiven? He said, all sins. She said, no exception? He said, no exception. She said, I want to be baptized right now. It was the middle of the night. The one who didn't want to go, she jumped right over me. You guys know the story. We've been faithful together ever since. Now, I didn't think she was looking for nothing. I didn't know the burdens on her heart. I mean, I knew she was uptight most of the time, and I thought it was me. You know, and the drinking and all that. You know, if I'd get my act together, she'd be happy.
Yes.
So you never know who's got burdens they can't bear. And you might think this person will love it and they hate it. The other one, well, they'll hate it. They love it. I quit worrying about that. You know what I'm going to do? Like Mark Miller said here a while ago, preach the word. I'm going to preach the word. It's best of my ability to make this thing, it's inviting. Inviting. It's called good news gospel for a reason. It's a chance to start all over again. It's a chance to be empowered. It's a chance to overcome what ails you. And that's why it's so important that we look at the world as God looks at the world. In Psalm 33 here, I like this psalm. The Lord, verse 13, looks from heaven. He sees all the sons of men. Now, you got to imagine that. This is a big world down here. Sees all the sons of men. From the place of his dwelling, he looks on all the inhabitants of the earth, and he fashions their hearts individually, and he understands all their works. Jesus said, fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the king. He said, don't you know, the hairs of your head are numbered. A birdie can't fall from the tree without your Father being aware of it. He really does know us. So when he says go into all the world, you know, I've been blessed to be a part of being able to do that in a literal sense. Some of you have been a part of that as well. Going into Kosovo, into that moderate Muslim country, about one of the only Muslim countries in the world that loves Americans and the British. You know, they love the British because they said if it wasn't for the United States and Great Britain, they said we'd all be dead. To be with people that have suffered so many things, but now to have the opportunity to carry the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, into their understanding, has been a real blessing, not only there, but in other places in this world. Alexandra wanted to go because she wants to be a part of something bigger than herself. You know, out of her own mouth, she's a young lady. I don't remember, was she 21? 22? 72. And Jessica, her sister, who couldn't escape because she's working, she wanted to go too, but she's going to go in August. Because you see, I have to go back in August. August 13th, they'll study again with Abney's boys and others they bring into the Bible study. And we'll collect Alexandra and bring her home via London family camp with Alan Marshall. Because I told the girls, I said, well, you know, I'm not coming straight home. Their mom likes it if when they're doing the international travel part that I'm with them. I said, well, I'm not coming straight home from Kosovo. I'm Alan Marshall's family camp speaker, so I got to go across the pond anyway, the Atlantic, to do that. So I was going to go to Kosovo and spend a week, do studies, and visit people that we help with wheelchairs. And they said, can we go to London? I'm like, yeah, if you want to. So those two young ladies are going to go and be with us at Alan Marshall's camp as well. But so when we first got there, we went to Prizren. That is where Javed Durocko, you know Javed, went and met with his family, with Fiola Blerum and all of that, got a chance to spend some time with them. Now, just like people all over the world, just like we do here, suffer things. They certainly suffered during the war. But now they got another tragedy, looks like, looming. And it's their little granddaughter, Leva. They noticed a little strange way that she walked, a little bit in her gait. And I got, you know, Java, the pediatrician that he is, retired, he was like, uh-oh. And so off to Istanbul, Esperina took her, and they did a bunch of tests more than once. It's just been they're scared to death. It's muscular dystrophy, which will put the little girl in a wheelchair, and she's just a little angel. The devastation, if this is what is going to be, hey, look, somebody's kid's going to have muscular dystrophy. Somebody's child is going to have spinal bifida. Somebody's child is going to be mentally retarded. How do I know that? Because it's the way of all the earth. It's part of life down here. What about the family that has to deal with that? When the panic and the fear sets in, what could happen? Do you realize that it's the gospel, it's the light of the truth of the gospel? It's not about just get baptized and go to church. How many times you heard me say it? You're going to keep hearing me say it till the day I drop dead too, by the way. Because when so many people think, is that what it's all about? Go to church on Sunday? I got other things to do on Sunday. We were talking about it in our class over there this morning, in the first hour, how big it actually is. So big you cannot hardly wrap your little mortal finite pea brain around it. And most people have no idea what Christianity is. Not at all. The devil's done his work well. There's only one thing that's going to be able to help them to process all that. If the fact, yeah, I'm trying right now to get them into Cleveland Clinic. I got a hold of them people. They sent me an application. I sent it to them, filled it out. They had to get their diagnosis of Leva from Istanbul and had to have it translated from Turkish to English. I got all that sent in. I don't know what's going to happen. You know, I mean, obviously, if you had to pay for all that, it'd be $1 million, I suppose. So I'm asking that we would consider a hardship situation. They have what they call a global something or another, global patient something. So the Cleveland Clinic does help people internationally. So it's a process. I try to keep Esperina, mom, you know, informed, and I sent her an email the other day. I said, Esperina, I still haven't heard back yet. You know, they said, we'll be back in contact. They got people evaluating, but haven't heard. Well, she's on pins and needles. She's desperate to know, what is this? Because Istanbul could not definitively make a determination whether or not it was. It's something. But Esperina said to me, you know, Mr. Steve, she said, if we're not able to do it, if there for some reason they can't get into the Cleveland Clinic or get it paid for or whatever. She said, I will be forever grateful to you. Basically for trying. You see, we can make a difference even though, I think I've shared with you before, and this was in Kosovo as well, when Denya Jacobs and Nikki Marancic, two registered nurses out of Montana, went with me to Kosovo to do pressure sore prevention and treatment for handy costs over there in Kosovo that deals with people that are paralyzed and have these nasty bed sores. They asked for help for this training for prevention and treatment. Jamie was on that trip. And they went in, and one lady, she'd been shot by the Serbs, and so she was paralyzed. She was shot in the back, Stadia. And they checked her out, and Nikki and Denya told her, you're doing real good. Whatever you're doing, keep it up, you know, because this woman was feisty, man. She was not going to let that, what happened to her, get her down. So she's determined, and they told her, you're doing real good. You keep doing what. Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much for coming. And Denya said, well, we didn't really do anything. And oh, man, Sadie had just lit him up. Oh, yes, you did. You came all the way across the world to come here to my house to help me. Nobody comes over here. My government don't help me. Nobody helped me. But you came all the way over here. She made it sound like they made her rise and walk in the newness of life or something. When really, like Dr. Frankel said, didn't do anything therapeutic to her at all. She's still paralyzed, still in a wheelchair. But man, was she thankful. You know, we got power, man. All kinds of power where people are concerned to help them through their darkest hours. Even though we can't give them what we know they would love to have. And you know, sometimes giving people what you know they would love to have could be the worst thing you could do for them. God is good. You know, this is Father's Day. He is the ultimate Father, and He is good. Jesus said, none good but God. And the worst thing God could do is give us everything we want. And if you're not getting what you want from a good father, and you're doing the right thing, you're a good son or you're a good daughter, but yet he still isn't giving you what you want, then be happy. I don't want to quote Garth Brooks, but you know, that unanswered prayer song. You need to thank God for unanswered prayers, man, because sometimes if you would have got what you thought you had to have when you needed to have it, could have been the worst thing that ever happened to you. But we as Christian people, people of the book, we've got to first off have this for ourselves. It needs to be seen in us so that we can communicate it and share it with other people. Because I'd love nothing more than to make sure that little girl don't have muscular dystrophy. Or if he does have something, to hopefully, praise the Lord, it could be treated. But that may not be the case. But that don't mean we're done. That don't mean we're done. We're just getting started. Because she's going to have hope. And I appreciate Tina, my daughter, so much. I can see that she knows what I'm saying. Because she went through that whole thing, and still to this day, but now she's got the hope, as we all do, that things are good. Because none of the things that happen here are permanent. The only permanent thing down here that is a catastrophe is when people have missed the whole thing and died outside of the will of God, outside of Christ. Whereas with Humpty Dumpty, all the king's horses and all the king's men can't put that situation back together again. Man, if you missed that, you missed everything. But our hope is not here. Michael will run and jump, and I don't know what he's going to do, but I know one thing. I said this at Bronson Hospital way back when, outside the emergency room, I looked up to heaven and I said, God, don't let this be in vain. and that I fully intended to have and will have an intelligent conversation with him one day. Not if, it's when. That's what this is all about. I gently tried to let the Duracos know that Leva is not just legs. Should she be in a wheelchair? Now another little girl over there, little Blarina, little Ballerina, Benny who mows our lawn, that's what he called her, Ballerina. Now she can't hardly breathe. Her muscular dystrophy has progressed so fast. From the first time we seen her 2 years ago, she could propel that chair with her arms. Now she couldn't raise her hand to take a Winnie the Pooh doll from me that I gave her. She's like 12. Ilya told me she'll die. I said, Lord, don't let her suffer too much. She won't be able to breathe. Man, what a way to go. And God sits up there and lets it happen because the light is greater than the darkness. And if we cannot put that together for people, it's what the scripture says. So blessed with the opportunity to go back there, to be in their lives, to be a part of it. You know, Elliot told me one time, well, because Elliot drove us around when I got there. He'd do anything for me. He told me when he was here a couple years ago, you know, Mr. Steve, I'm not a real religious person. I know why. He's like one of them, like the other lady I told you guys about, who was in Belarus, that told me why her mother lost her faith. I said, why'd your mother lose? She said she was a believer once. I said, why did she lose her faith? And she started to explain all this darkness and sorrow and suffering and hunger and starvation and borrowing a cookie from the neighbor, her and her granny. And then her granny got cancer and suffered and died. Grandpa was a drunk. Dad left. She said, where's God? And I had to begin to explain to her where God was at. And I started using scriptures. Of course, we have to have the scriptures to paint this big picture about the light that came into the world so that people have to be in the darkness no more. And the light is greater than the darkness. God can allow that darkness because it's temporary. Darkness is just the absence of light in the first place. We'll interject light in there and watch the darkness flee. Next thing I know, this young lady, Elvira, was smiling. You see, we have to be able to turn that around. Well, see, Ilier told me, you know, he was just a young guy when the Serbs took, you know, came in there, the paramilitaries, the mercenaries, they set in fire to the homes for miles and miles, drove them out of their homes. People were being shot, women ravaged. Ilier said the Serb stopped him. He was only 14. He said the Serb policeman got me, and he said they beat my face. Imagine them cops taking a 14-year-old boy and beating his face in. Scared to death. Then they all end up scattered. They didn't know the other half of the family was alive. People have been through stuff like that. But Alexandra told me, see, I got the opportunity when I was in Kosovo because of some connections that came together with some British guy that I never met before, and this was last time. He said, there's a church in Jakova. He said, a bunch of people there, you know, Christian people, you know, and so got this opportunity. I was going to speak there. So Ilya drove me and Avni and Alexandra and the boys, and we went an hour or so over to Jakova for me to speak there. And Alexandra told me later, she says, you know, Steve, when that other guy was up there, Ilya was looking like, you know, he'd rather be anywhere. He was our driver, so he had to, like, be in there. She said, but when you got up there, he sat on the edge of his seat and never took his eyes off you the whole time. I said, I know, I saw him. He's listening. See, I built a relationship with him. I'm not boasting. I'm just telling you. This is how it's done, folks. We have to be Christ to the people that we're going to be communicating with, and sometimes it takes a while. It'll take a while. They're not going to get that the first time. They don't even know who you are. Jay Wilson said one time, look, if you're going to be fishers of men, you got to make the bait look natural. Ain't nothing more unnatural than showing up on somebody's front porch and beating on the door, waking them up at 8 o'clock Saturday morning. Hi, do you know Jesus? You get off my porch. That ain't no way to reach people. It's got to look natural. Paul said to become all things to all men that we might all, by all means, save them all? No. He says save some. Save some. So even with your best effort, that don't mean that you're going to have a ton of success. Paul said, one plants, one waters, God gives the increase. So we had a chance to be with the Duraco family and working with those situations there. They're so happy to have us come, etc. But then back down or back up to Pristina, because we had an all-day Bible study scheduled with Avni, his two boys, Florin and Adrian. And Avni's one of his good buddies, a guy named Ali, he brought his nephew. He's probably in his 20s. We studied all day on a Saturday, from morning all into the afternoon. And it went great. Went great. Florin, Avni's older boy, I mean, he really wants to be immersed. You know, but he said, you know, Mr. Steve, I'm getting so much in this study, I think maybe a few more weeks. I don't know if he was also thinking I'd be back there in a few more weeks. But it's not, and Avni told me this, he's not waiting just so that I can baptize him. It's not that at all. He wants me to validate his understanding is all. That's very mature. And these guys, I'm just totally impressed with them. But you guys know Avni. I mean, in fact, let me tell you, right now, Avni, we got it set up. He's going to Montana Family Camp. And Jay Wilson's going to let him speak at Montana Family Camp. And a few guys that were here, you remember, when Avni gets up and talks, and he tries to be, you know, how shall I say, very aware. He doesn't want to freak people out of everything that he could say. I had to get up here and tell you the rest of the story because Avni didn't tell you what they did to him. He didn't want people to be shocked or upset. That guy has been through so much. He's the toughest guy I've ever seen in my life. And man, he hadn't batted an eye. I mean, he is just pressing on with the truth of the gospel. So Jay's got him. He said, I'll put him on. I know the first time Jeremy Wilson met him when I took him down there when Avni was at Ada at the Northern Ohio University. I picked him up because they knew if he's going to be in the country for 9 months, he's going to be fellowshipping at Lima. So I picked up Jeremy Wilson, took him down there. We picked up Avni, met in a coffee shop for, I don't remember, a couple hours or something like that. Then we dropped him back off at his dorm, and me and Jeremy, I headed out. Jeremy said, I'm exhausted. Just listening to him for 2 hours just wore Jeremy out. I think that, I mean, I don't, you know, I'm not a prophet or a son of a prophet. I'm just telling you, there's nothing but green light since the first time I laid eyeballs on that guy. And I mean, I'm still stunned the way he's going. Doesn't bat an eye. Just sees the whole thing, all for it 100% sold for the glory of God. I mean, he sees his first country for the nation of Kosovo. He's a significant guy. He's a professor of rule of law, democratic governance, human rights. And he's got a cadre of people that follow with him. He calls them his colleagues, 50 people. These are educated people, other professors, doctors, and lawyers. And he's kind of like their leader. They went to the equivalent of their Speaker of the House in Kosovo, and they told that guy, they said, we're here to help you. We want good government here, and we're going to either do it with you or we're going around you. I mean, this guy's a mover and a shaker, and they're following him. I don't know what the Lord's going to do with all that, and his boys ain't much different than him. Solid. So we got to follow up, got to press on. I left there and went to Belarus because I left a lot of stuff on the stove last time. I mean, when people ask me for a Bible study, people that haven't heard before, and they said, I'd like to know God, I'd like you to come and talk to me about that. And I go, okay, and then I don't show up. We ran out of time. Flat ran out of time. And I'm leaving thinking, we didn't get with this person, we didn't get with this lady that runs a shelter, she's a deputy director, Atlanta's her name, she said, I want a Bible study, didn't get back with her. With Sergey and Alona out to the collective farm, I mean, they've been through the mill. You know, I think I told you guys, I get this opportunity to go and speak at a shelter where kids are taken away from their parents. But the guy, the director of that particular shelter, at a guy named Vaslav, he told me, I don't want their kids in my shelter. But if those homes are so messed up and they're dysfunctional and dangerous, we will take the kids out of them homes. And they do. Same way you do here, too, by the way. It's not because that's just a former communist country under the last remaining dictatorship in Europe. That might sound harsh, but we do it here, too. You got to get kids out of dangerous situations. And Vaslav said, I don't want their kids in my shelter. I want their parents, he said, to get their act together so the kids can be home. He said, I want the parents to come down. I'm going to bring them down here, and I want you to talk to them. He said, I don't care what you talk to them about. You can talk to them about God if you want to. What the heck? Okay. So I've done that twice so far. And what I try to do is give a little bit of that testimony that I came from a broken family, a dysfunctional family, alcohol involved, death of my mother by her own hand. And then myself struggled with the alcohol for years. But I began a journey looking for truth. I wanted to change my life for my family's sake, not only for my sake, but for my wife, for my kids. I didn't want to be a drunk dad. You know, we get to these wonderful, beautiful Father's Day cards today. How can you receive a card like that from your children when you're drunk and stupid all the time? I really like the cards. I mean, I haven't read yours yet, but I'm looking forward to it. So far, so good. I've gotten Kristen today, and she did put DJ's name on there, so I think he agrees with what she said. But you know, you'd like to think that you deserve that from your kids. So anyway, I tell them people, I said, look, I ain't preaching at you. I said, I ain't preaching at you. I'm just telling you. I'm just telling. Of course, it gave me this look like, you know, first they were uncomfortable, but then they weren't. Then they were leaning forward. They were really listening because they didn't think people from America had problems. It shocked them to find out I was a social orphan, that, you know, that we had a broken home, you know, me and Bro John. And but not anymore, overcame all those things, and now helping other people. And I said, you know, I ain't preaching at you. I said, look, we come here all the time. If you want, we'll come by your house, and if you're interested, we'll show you a bit more about that. Raise their hands. You know, three or four people. Yeah. Well, one lady, we didn't make it to her house. You know, I told her, you know, we'll get over there. We ran out of time. She nice lady, Natasha. She had her kids taken away because, see, her husband got, he was a drunk. And he polished off a fifth of vodka one day. She said he was laying outside in the sunshine. She said, when I went out there, he was dead. He drank him, whether it was alcohol, poison, or combination of laying out there frying in the sunshine last year. So she didn't know what to do, and she started drinking. So they took her child. So her child was in Vaslov's shelter. She was one of them sitting there. She said, I want somebody to talk to me. And I didn't get there. So I made that a priority. I went to her house, just went there, me and Olga Goncharenko and Oleg. And we are unpackaging the scriptures to that lady. She's not drinking anymore. She does have a job, and she's trying to take care of a boy. It's just human stuff. It's just normal. It's all over the place. It's not because that's Belarus or it doesn't matter. It's America. It's all over the world. It's a human problem. And the solution is the same. They need empowerment. They need understanding. A transformation of the renewing of the mind is how you can come out of the darkness to the light, to begin to live in the Spirit, led by the Spirit and strengthened by God's Holy Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit will be manifested in your life, not the works of the flesh anymore. Man, it's power. Life-changing power. It ain't about just go to church. It ain't going to help anybody. If you don't have the Spirit of Christ, he said, you ain't his. Romans 8, verses 8 and 9. Paul made it clear, those in the flesh can't please God. He said, but you, Christian, you ain't in the flesh. You in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man does not have the Spirit of Christ, he said he ain't his. Well, how do you get the Spirit of Christ? Well, you got to be born again of water and Spirit. There's a whole lot of people profess to be Christian. They've never been baptized into Christ to receive forgiveness of their sins or the indwelling presence of God's Holy Spirit. They say, I don't have to do that. I don't have to do that. You Church Christ people believe in water salvation. You got command and example all over the Scripture about how to be born again. If you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you ain't his, is what he says. And you need that. You can't get a Holy Spirit if you don't have a cleansed vessel. What do you think the immersion is for? It is for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You cannot put a Holy Spirit in an unclean vessel. Gee whiz, don't you rinse out a cup or something? You know, if you had something else in there and, you know, I like just put clean water in a dirty cup. You know, even if I had coffee in it. Yeah, I'm done with the coffee, I rinse the cup out, give me a drink of water. It's just a natural thing. Cleanse the inside of the cup, and the outside will be clean. So we talked with Natasha. She wants more study. We'll do that. Met with the lady from the shelter we didn't get back with. She was just blown away. She wants more study. Went out to the collective farm and studied with Sergey and Alona. I like them. They lost their kids, got them back. They both had alcohol problems. She was in prison for years for murder. And man, they love the studies now. They look like a wreck. I mean, talk about rode hard and put away wet. Both of them have been through the mill, and they're working at a collective farm. They work them from kink to kink, like almost 6-7 days a week. But they're so happy. They feel blessed. They said, we feel blessed. It's all relative, I guess. Vera, the Red Cross lady that was here, we did studies at her house with a group, with Oksana, the lady in a wheelchair. 15-16 people in the studies. Vera, the doctor, the blonde lady that was here with Susha, same thing, twice with them, really, really track. And, you know, I've got my trip scheduled July 1 through 15. I'll be back there. Oleg and I already got it set up. We're going to do a retreat. I'm getting everybody away from their work. It's their holiday time, summertime. It's kind of weird, Soviet practice. They get... Most people get a lot of time off in the summer. We're going to go there. We're going to spend 3 days, a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, intense Bible study with a specific group of people, about a dozen people that we've picked. And they're not all Christian, but they are very interested in the Bible studies. Good folks. We're going to really drill down and try to make a difference in their lives, and that's coming up. We got a coffee shop that's opening up. Jeff Bisco, for you guys that know him, out of Montana. Jeff is a real entrepreneur. He went with me a couple years ago. Jeff said, we need to start a coffee shop here to help raise money to fund the humanitarian work being done here. It's like, okay, Jeff. He put most of the capital down. Our board approved about $10,000, $12,000 for that. Jeff put in about $35,000 or something. That coffee shop is opening, I think, this week. And Jeff said it's just blown away all the Belarusians that have been involved, from the designer to the head construction guys doing the build-out, all the people that have been associated with it. When they found out the purpose of this coffee shop is to raise money to help needy people and poor people in Belarus. They never heard of such a thing. And they think, that is an awesome idea. And now doors are opening up. One lady, the designer, wanted to come to one of the Bible studies. It's amazing how God can work to bring all those things together. So, again, I've said it before, thank all of you, because I can't do what I do if you're not there. And you have been there, this assembly, not only to help financially or prayer-wise, but the confidence that I have, even though my family's close by, but I know the rest of you there too, so I can be gone knowing things are going to be okay, and that with you and the Lord, I don't have to worry. So thank you for that.